business success usually comes to those who are too busy to be looking for it. Join RVK for the award-winning RV On Business Show every Tuesday at 12 midday. It's not about thinking out of the box. There is no box. Only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome to 101.9 Chai FM. It is just gone 10 minutes past the hour of 12. And for those of you who are in Johannesburg, I'm sure you will all agree that it is very, very cold. Everybody that I've spoken to today is really wrapped up. I had a meeting earlier on this morning, somebody with jackets and beanies, and said to me, like, why don't you just put the heating on? He says, well, I'm a factory manager and it's very difficult to heat a factory. So the poor guy really just had to, you know, brace himself for the cold. But as it happens every year in Johannesburg and in South Africa, it gets really cold. I was sent a thing last night for Randburg. I said the temperature is 8, but feels like -2. So please be careful and please wrap up. But there is some good news besides the weather. And that is when the last time the South African Reserve Bank committee got together, they dropped interest rates. It was only a 25% basis point. It's only a quarter of an interest, a quarter of a percent interest rate drop. But for those of you who have been paying a mortgage regularly, one thing you'll see right away is as soon as those interest rates drop, so your repayment drops. And you can see it in rands and cents, how much less you're paying on a monthly basis. Now, it's not for me today to dive into whether you should or shouldn't pay less. You should peg it at where it was. But I'm very happy to welcome back Eva August from Century 21 Property. Eva, welcome back to Chai FM.
Avi, thank you so much. I always love speaking to you. It's really an honor to have me on again. Thank you. Your company is great. Thank you.
Talk to me. So the interest rates dropped by 0.25%. Big deal. Why is that an issue?
I agree with you. A big deal. Why is that an issue? I think it's actually a blessing and it's a gift. It gives a lot of relief to a lot of people that are overly extended with a lot of credit cards and a lot of car payments and a lot of home payments and lending. The reason, you know, you asked an amazing question. You said, so what's the problem? I think the gift in the reduced interest rate, it's the second one we've had this year. The problem with that is that we think it's going to stay low and it's going to stay down and it's going to be a bit of a relief of a few hundred or a few thousand rand for the rest of the year. But it doesn't work like that. And what causes the problem is that we make short-term decisions based on this interest rate drop that can affect us for the long term. And so that is the problem. When we look at the interest rate going up and down, what goes down must go, what comes down must go up, what goes up must come down. And in real estate, I'll say two things in particular, because you mentioned the mortgage. It is the biggest, longest debt that we repay. And I would say that the interest rate must never be a reason why we buy or sell. The theory or the term is marry the home, marry the investment, and date the rate, date the interest rate, because it's not going to last.
Nicely put. I've never heard that before, but it's so succinct. It really goes to the heart of the issue. Eva, let's go back to the very beginning. A young couple, all excited, heard the interest rates have come down. In light of what you've just said now, they're looking to buy, they're looking to get into the property market, but always felt that it's just a little bit beyond them. Does this rate change make it a little bit more attractive?
Yes, it does. It does make it more attractive in the short term. But when that young couple looks at buying their first home together, there should be more than a comfortable buffer to budget for possible increases over the next 12 to 24 months. So one can only speculate. You can know very quickly what your affordability is now on that interest rate and how that leaves you if there's more money at the end of the month or more month at the end of the money. But before you put in an offer on your first home, check that in the eventuality or even a possibility that the interest rate goes up quite moderately in the next 24 months for whatever reason, that you can still do that. And I would maybe budget on a 50 basis point increase in the next 24 months. Not because I think that's going to happen, but just to help that couple avoid what happened in the beginning of COVID, which actually caused a big problem in the real estate market because of the interest rates.
So it's really about taking advantage of the decreased rate, but knowing that you need to have a buffer, especially on the upside of the interest rates, to carry it through. One thing that you put in the press release, which I found quite interesting, is that the banks have also come to the party, and they're now looking again at zero deposit loans. Are they also looking at giving people favorable interest rates based on this extra leeway that they have?
Avi, they are. Banks are competing now more than ever. It's not uncommon to get 100% mortgages. There are one or two banks that are offering 110% mortgage, so that that extra 10% on the value of the home, subject to them finding in the valuation that the value is there. But 110% mortgages allow the buyer to use that lending for legal costs and transfer duty costs. So it is amazing. It is competitive, particularly for the first-time home buyers. One thing that's really exciting for me is that more than a third of all homes being purchased currently across the country are first-time home buyers, by young people under the age of 30. And the reason for that is for long-term investment, not for their primary residence. And because of that boom of the younger generation investing in their first home for investment only for the time being, banks are becoming more and more competitive on the lending.
You know, even just to go off script a little bit, I know there was talk about a year and a half, 2 years ago, as property no longer being the attractive investment it was. And that was really because of the cost of holding the property, things like security, things like the rates and taxes that had really increased, electricity prices had gone up. But in South Africa, besides the rates and taxes, that's really passed on to the consumer. Has that environment sort of changed, and is property, again, residential property, looking more attractive?
I think it's always been attractive. I think that whilst all costs of holding costs of a property do go up, and body corporates and homeowners associations are getting more expensive, I understand that, but those costs are going to be going up no matter what, whether you invest or not. And I think the answer to that is yes. The best time to buy property, no matter what, is always yesterday. And the next best time is right now. Because in spite, as you say, costs are going up, that also means that the cost of the property is not going to go down long term. You know, you will get certain properties subject to some reasons why amazing deals are available. But the answer is yes. There are too many properties on the market where the purchase price can be in favor of the buyer for whatever reason. And with very smart tactics of adding value to the property, it can generate a return on investment from day one. I'll always say that, biased possibly, but I'll always believe that, and I'll find evidence for that.
The bottom line is that you need to have the right person in your corner, and you need to be able to sit with a person like yourself and put your cards on the table and say, I'm buying as an investment, I'm buying as my first home, or I've only been able to look at buying now later on in my life because of circumstance. And it's all about having the right person to guide you through the process. Eva, something that we're seeing, which is very encouraging, is that there have been certain pockets of area in the country, like certain parts of Mpumalanga, certain parts of the Free State, where property wasn't being developed or wasn't being bought. That seems to be changing. And there seems to be a lot of property being bought at that and in those particular areas. That obviously has got to do with the economy really gaining momentum in certain parts of the country.
Avi, you are correct. There's a lot of upliftment and local investment in smaller towns around the countries, a lot of revival happening. And in our company within Century 21, what validates that is that most of our property boom and demand and supply and the highest sales are actually in the smaller towns apparently in the last year, more so than in the metros. And I think it's because the way we live and work that has changed since COVID can't really be undone. So what's driving consumer behavior, what's driving the choice of where to live and how to live, it's not going to change. I think as time goes on, the metros are going to become less attractive, therefore driving investment in upliftment of the smaller towns around the country, the outskirts. And I am seeing that people are not worried or faced with long commute times from the smaller suburbs and towns into the metro areas. They'd rather travel further and have better value for money in the property investments in these areas than to stay in the city.
Eva, I couldn't agree with you more, and I've got some real-life examples that I'd like to share with everybody. So you just enjoy that cup of coffee. Let's take a quick break. Let's run to the shops. We'll be back with you in a moment.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
If you or a loved one are blind, have low vision, or have a print disability that makes reading standard print difficult, JBI Library is here to connect you to Jewish life, learning, and culture. We offer thousands of Jewish interest large print, audio, and braille materials, all free of charge. Learn more at jbilibrary.org or call 1-800-433-1531.
Are you the person whose home is full of friends and family sharing laughter and delicious food? If so, KitchenEek is here to make your life even more delicious. KitchenEek's more than just a store that sells cookware, bakeware, and kitchen gadgets. We're a team of food lovers and homemakers dedicated to enhancing your cooking and entertaining experience. Shop online at kitcheneek.co.za or visit us in Woodmead. We're open 7 days a week. KitchenEek, your ultimate kitchen companion.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. And just before we go back to our guest, Eva August, just let me let you know that Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage your health risks. Whether you are having your regular wellness checks such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and most importantly, with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside your closest Dis-Chem Pharmacy. Dis-Chem Pharmacies, better health starts here. And Eva of Property 21, just before we get on to the next question, something you mentioned earlier about people commuting, we're finding that in our financial planning practice to be a major, major change. We've got a lot of people living, for example, in Hartbeespoort that could live closer to the mines, but they like to live there because there's schools, there's communities, there's churches. We're also finding that people have got no issue driving longer distances. And in some instances, husbands, for example, will stay at work in an apartment or an Airbnb for 4 or 5 days and then come home. And that just seems to be the norm. You said that we can't undo COVID. I was just having a chat with somebody here in Israel last week about a new position that they got. And I just blurted out, well, how many days are you going to be in the office? And without hesitation, they said 3. And this has become the norm. It's become the norm to allow people to work from home and to have a flexibility. Again, as an aside, we found in our practice that it's become counterproductive, that people didn't want to go to the office. It's a long commute. It's expensive. And we actually facilitated people coming back from a monetary point of view because we realized after 2 years, you got used to having that cash in your pocket. And what we saw was productivity plateau and then rise steadily. And people's happiness increased. They realized that being at home is great, but it gets very, very depressing just to stare at a screen, to wait for someone to come home, or, you know, the garbage collection becomes an event because you've got nothing really else going on in your day besides work. And that sort of so-called water cooler interaction is that what creates a lot of energy. But even let's get back to property. We're talking about the buffer. Let's put aside for a moment that couple that, you know, when this relief comes through, is just so excited to be able to breathe again. But if a scenario is what it really should be, that the relief comes through because the interest rates have dropped, would you advise people to peg what they're paying on their mortgages at what they were paying before in order to pay off more capital?
Yes, absolutely. The people that I've seen that have got the most financial freedom and carry the least risk, the people that are not subjected to market conditions in terms of being affected in their family and lifestyle, have pegged that. I've been paying 9,000 all this time at the high interest rate. Great, it's dropped. Great, I save quite a bit of money, but I'm going to keep paying that because my income is the same. It's easy to divert that money and just spend it and not know where the heck it went. And so this calls for discipline, but the time's going to pass anyways. The income is still there. Don't make a change and don't drop the repayment because the interest rate has dropped. Only do that when you have to, because maybe income has dropped or there's been other reasons for it, but keep it there. Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, there is a formula behind that. Interest is calculated on a daily basis over 20 years, over the year, over the month. And every bit that you can throw in extra contributes in a slight edge way towards that recalculation every month on your credit card, on your mortgage, on your car payments, everything. And it helps. It helps.
Even you've obviously just hit a nerve because two messages came flying in as you said that. The first one is from Jeremy, who wants to know, I have applied for two home loans. The one bank gave me 20 years. The other bank gave me 30 years. The 30 year is obviously a smaller payment per month. It will make life a lot easier for us, but we can afford the 20 year. What would you suggest?
Oh my gosh, do the hardest thing if you can. The hard decision now and the hard discipline now on that money is going to make an easier life later on. If you can afford to do the payments over 20 years and take a step further and budget for a possible increase in the interest rate in the next 2 years by 50 basis points, do that. Your future self will thank you for it. Don't do what's easy now. We always pay it back later, like in Kandla, pay back the money. It's going to be paid anyway. So if you can do it now, do it.
You know, Eva, I'm happy you're sitting down and you've had a good cup of coffee, because the next message is, I've been offered a private loan by my company where I don't have to take out a bond, but I only have to pay interest for the first 10 years, and thereafter I will have to pay interest and capital. Is this a good idea? I think there's a two-letter answer for that.
No one needs to be in real estate to answer that question. For me personally, I'm not going to dictate, but since you're asking me, I think the answer is no. No. The terms and conditions and the fine print of that loan by your company doesn't seem favorable. It doesn't seem like a win-win for the employee and the company. It doesn't seem like I think the T's and C's will be that the employee can't go anywhere ever. And so I would refer to that as golden handcuffs. So for me, it's a no.
You know, besides the interest rate aspect of it, only someone with experience like yourself could really bring in the golden handcuffs situation. You know, again, I can almost see, I can picture this person sitting in the boardroom with two or three directors, quite intimidated, really looking at them and trying to say, thank you so much for looking after me and caring for me. And they're the directors thinking, well, he can never move. We've got him forever. He makes one mistake and we've got his house. And sometimes you've got to really be brave and you've got to be strong and you've got to be able to take that contract somewhere. You know, Eva, would you think it would be a good idea for this individual to pay a lawyer for a consultation to read over it?
That is worth way more. I would agree so. I would agree with that. Yes, I think they should. I think it's worth the investment. Prevention is better than cure. And I think that kind of expert consultation could help them see something that they're not seeing and completely avoid a whole accident that need not happen and harm to a relationship, a professional relationship that could otherwise be quite, you know, prosperous in the work, you know, as far as the work contract is concerned.
And if the employer is worried about that work relationship, if he doesn't take the loan, my thoughts would be that's even more of a reason to go get a second opinion and maybe not take it. Because why are they giving it to you? And why are they making you feel forced to go ahead with that loan? I think that's a very, very interesting point there. The next question that's just come through, it's a question that I've seen quite a lot. Hi, Ava and Avi. A lot of my friends have switched their bonds 2 or 3 times already from one bank to another. I know that you incur costs every time you do that. I could never see the rationale behind it. Am I missing something?
I think so. I think one can't take the reason people do things at face value. In my opinion, from what I understand, constantly moving 2 or 3 times or once or twice or 3 times to other banks, you're just kicking the can further down the road. What we're doing is we are having banks compete with our for our salary, for our business, for our financial support. And it is common that banks compete against each other. The best way always as a first-time home buyer or second or third is to use a bond originator. And that process is quite amazing because they come and they present completely different offers to you from different banks. And the way banks have to compete for market share is to entice you to switch banks. Switch over to us and we will cover this for you for the next 2 years, 1 year, household insurance, etc. And so the reason they're doing that is, I say at face value, one never knows. We may be looking at a situation where one is borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, one is delaying the balloon payment, so to speak, by moving to another bank and buying more time in one's life according to more value that's been added to the asset that they are gearing. And so the reason from my perspective is maybe to finance more businesses, to finance things that are worthy or unworthy. But unless the reason is really valid, there's no need to do that. We're just kicking the can down the road further, I guess. And that's just a message to the average homeowner that's quite risk averse, that wants to be debt free as soon as possible.
Eva, I've got an interesting question that's come through. A lady called Sophia, and I'm sure I should pronounce that with a European accent, says, I'm married to a South African. We've been living in Europe for the last 10 years. We have now moved to South Africa, and I'm not quite sure in whose favor the estate agent works for. There's obviously a Google Translate here. Does the estate agency person work for the buyer or for the selling party?
In theory and in practice, the answer differs. In South Africa, the estate agent is contracted by the seller and is paid commission by the seller in residential property transactions. I think it is unique to our market. Our company is in 84 countries, and what I know is that it's not common for one agent to represent both the buyer and the seller. In other countries, there are sides. So there's an agent for the buyer, and there's an agent for the seller, and the two of them talk together, and they conclude the deal. Down to the actual mandate, the seller is who the agent represents, but I will say that there is no deal if the agent does not represent the interest of the buyer as well. It has to be that way. One agent that is very good has to always have a foot in each shoe in order to make the transaction win-win.
Ava, just before we go to the break, the last thing I want to ask you was, I did see it on the press release, is that there is government support programs like the Finance Linked Individual Subsidy Program. Please just tell us a little bit more about that.
Avi, I'm not familiar with the details of the government subsidy program, but there are many There are one or two that are linked and contracted to the largest bond origination companies in the country. So the one that I would be most attracted to is the one that Uber provides, OOBA, their government subsidized mortgage origination process. It is very attractive. There are a number of T's and C's linked to all of those programs. And so before one even looks into it and applies, just be aware that it is subject to a certain age group, a certain demographic, and an ability to prove that your income is less than, I believe, 100,000 Rand per annum. And those subsidy programs do subsidize the deposit costs of the home and the legal and transfer costs of a home in order to get ownership. But there are terms and conditions that one has to meet. There are a number of them. The one that is catching the most attention and traction and has the highest conversion in the marketplace in supporting the general South African is with Uber, OOBA.
Except when you talk about a bond originator, you know, there might be a lot of listeners who know, well, I'll just call my private banker or I'll just use the bank that I've been using forever. What is the function of a bond originator and where do they add value?
That's a great question. I still think no matter what your private banking relationship is with your bank, I do think that all buyers should allow a bond originator to keep your private banker honest and make sure that you are getting the best deal from them. And the function of the bond originator is they fight for the best bond approval that's available to you as the applicant in the marketplace. The thing about bond origination companies, because it is their expertise, they live and breathe the banks. They know what's coming. They know policy changes. They know products and services. They know what sharp pencil sharpening tools and tactics are to motivate your application. And they fight for the best rate for the buyer. And I think the model of that is beautiful because just like an estate agent's career, the career of a bond originator is that the earning of the company and the individual does not happen unless a successful deal is concluded with the bank. And it is the bank that pays the bond originator to crowdfund and source those buyers. And so go to your private banker, do that, but allow the bond originator to show you what's out there in the marketplace and how your banker can compete. And if anything, keep your banker honest that you can rest assured that what your banker has offered you is truly competitive. And that's the role of them, to make sure that you get financed in a way that's safe and secure for you and the bank, and that everything is done correctly.
Fantastic. Eva, just before we run to the break, I just need to let everybody know that this is a special call to small business owners. You can boost your brand with an unbeatable advertising deal on Chai FM like this. Get 5 ads per day for 5 days for just 5,000 Rand. This stimulus campaign is perfect for businesses looking to make a splash. Don't miss out on this exclusive opportunity to reach your audience and grow your business interests. How do you get involved? You email info@chaifm.co.za or you can text 061-895-1019. And just to also let you know that between 1 and 2 o'clock today, Chai FM will unfortunately be off air for essential transmission repairs. We are aware of ongoing issues affected by our transmitters and we apologize for the disruption. Our technical team is working hard to make sure that we resolve these problems as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, this isn't a quick fix and restoration may take some time. We truly appreciate your patience and understanding while we are at work to restore your full service. Thank you for bearing with us. I know that since Chai FM moved the transmission and the transmitter, it's been a challenge, but it's also an upgrade because it's their own transmitter. They're not sharing. So all growth comes with a bit of pain. Eva, if you don't mind, let's take a quick break. Craig, let's run to the shops. We'll be back with you in a moment.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Israel is missing you, a land of innovation, purpose, and connection. This June, discover how you can be part of Israel's future. Join us at the Aliyah Expo, Johannesburg, June 29th and 30th. Meet the experts, explore career options, learn about communities, schools, healthcare, and make your next chapter the most meaningful yet. Look for the registration link on the Israel Center South Africa Facebook. The Aliyah Expo, your future starts here.
Get down to the Bluebird Shopping Center now. Let us be a part of your journey with your little one and give them all they need with great savings on big brands. Experience a wide range of baby products for every precious moment, from bath time to bedtime and meal times to play times. Baby City has your needs covered. Get to Baby City Athol at the Bluebird Shopping Center for everything you need from South Africa's leading baby hyper. Baby City, we know you care.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. Eva, I have no idea where you're sitting, but it is making me jealous. I know that every time I'm in South Africa, I take photos of the golf course that I'm sitting at, simply because so many of our clients live in golfy states, in the Northern Province and in Limpopo, and they are just magnificent. And they do travel quite a bit back and to from work, but they live in these estates that are close to schools and facilities. Eva, to end off, is the South African property market buoyant, and is it still a place that people should look at investing in?
Absolutely, Avi. I am running more now than ever events, internal events with our partners around the world for relocation services of real estate. We have got an incredible demand of Europeans that are coming into the country. Whilst a lot of South Africans are immigrating, a lot of people are coming into the country, particularly from Germany and Dubai, other parts of Europe. It is now, and it will continue to be, one of the best property investment markets in the world. And to anyone that wants to challenge that, I ask you to please go, leave the country, even go to another African country and see what the money that you spend on your beautiful home in South Africa, what it can buy you in other parts of the world, and compare the two. Sure, we've got our problems, but if we're just looking at real estate, if we're just looking at quality of life within real estate, commercial and residential, there's never going to be a better time than now. So yes, and look, I'm proudly South African, so I'll always have a lot more reasons why there's a good reason to invest than not. So yes, Avi. And let's talk again in a year, and the answer will be yes.
Fantastic. Eva, we've got literally 3 minutes just to put it in context. Around the corner from me here, they've built a whole lot of homes. There are four bedrooms upstairs, lounge, dining room, study downstairs, very small. These are townhouse type of houses, to put it in South African parlance. Those are going for 7 million Israeli shekel. That's 35 million South African rand. I think I could stick my neck out and say that if you had that type of buying power, there isn't a place in South Africa you couldn't look at living in.
Absolutely. You said it perfectly, and you just made an example of every other place in the world compared to our beautiful South Africa. And don't be jealous from where you sit now, because it's freezing in Johannesburg right now, and I'm sitting in the middle of Johannesburg. But the sun is shining in the middle of our winter.
Still has one of the best weathers in the world. Eva, thank you so much. Please visit the website at century21.co.za. You need advice. You need people in your corner who are going to guide you honestly and with a clear way, so that you understand what you're doing, so you can make an informed decision. Eva August is your lady. Century21.co.za. Eva, thank you so much, and be well.
Bless you. Thank you, Avi.